Welcome to the Brad and Body Podcast. You already know who we are. We wouldn't be here, so let's not waste any more time. Here's Bradley.
Two of the greatest words in NBL are here. Game five. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Brad and Body Podcast. Bottomed. We're at the very, very point. It's two all. Game five, Sunday, 2:30. Hello, my friend.
Hello there. Now, just we should, before we get to that, because that's all we're going to talk about, let's go over the news. The New Zealand Breakers have been sold.
Wow, massive news, yes.
Yeah, Matt Walsh is out, as I said some time ago in articles that I got flayed for because people didn't do their proper research, that this is always coming.
Nobody, you're wrong. It's not getting sold. I read that online all the time. Most of it was writing it by me, but still I read it.
I recognise that handle now.
What was it, spelt wrong and said incorrectly? Yeah, that was me.
Yeah, and it was signed. Never mind. But the other bit of news is that there's a bit of a revolution going on within the ownership structure of the NBL. That seven of the owners are looking to buy Larry out and take over running the league. So, but they're offering him $44 million at a time when he's invested 70. So I think he's probably going to turn the naff off, but there are things happening. That.
Let's stay there because, you know, like, I mean, I love all this side of the business and I can't fathom how each team is worth literally 40 million now, right? That's what people are paying, body, whether it's worth it or not. I know people, but that's what people are paying and whatever it is. You times that by 10, that's 400 million. Now, understand it doesn't work that way. Mm. How do you then give an owner of the league? I don't get that.
Yeah, but what it does point to is that behind the scenes, like in the front of the camera, everything's looking good and rosy and, hey, we've got New York, the Pelicans coming and all that sort of stuff. Everything is wonderful and record crowds and blah, blah, blah. But behind the scenes, what you and I don't see, what the public doesn't see at ownership meetings with the owner of the league, obviously there's a great deal of unhappiness with some of the ways that the league is being run.
And that's fair enough. Like if people want to think that way, I look, yes, I get paid to do commentary and in theory I can work for the NBL if you look at it that way. I don't get paid directly from the NBL. I get paid separately. But what I am saying to this is that as someone that was there 10, 12 years ago when this league was said, let's have a year off and re-go, right?
Andrew Gaze was the only person
that. But no matter what it was every team was losing. Owners were losing money, not losing games, I mean dollars, right? And a situation, Larry came in and he has taken it from A to B. I sit there and go, he has every right to say whatever he wants, right? He took it. He took the gamble. He's paid off and now it's brilliant. Now, if he wants to sell it, good for him. But if he doesn't want to sell it, good for him. If owners don't like what's happened, well, I don't get, you know, but I'm not there. I'm not privy. I don't sit in any of those meetings. I have nothing to do with any of that. I just sit here and go that I'm about to drive down to Wollongong on Sunday for game five and watch one of the great, no, I shouldn't say the greatest series because there's been great, but
Tasmania Melbourne series.
I know, but I'm just saying to be part of a great NBL, right? To be part of a great NBL. This wasn't like this 10 years ago, mate.
I'll give you that. I'll give you that without any question. And for the 10 years prior to that, it was very, very rocky as well.
Right.
I'm not saying that under Larry's stewardship and ownership that the league hasn't flourished. It has. What I am saying is that's what we see as a general public. What we don't see is the board meetings and what goes on there and what's being expected. What we do see is the inequities with various fines and suspensions that seem to go against certain people a little more aggressively than certain members of other clubs, etc. Those sorts of inequities.
Mate, when you get everyone in a room, I'm sure there's a lot of egos you got to deal with, Well, let's move on to the good stuff. All right.
Okay.
So the last time we spoke, it was one all, if I'm not mistaken. The last time we spoke was one all. We went down to and watched Wollongong play, and they burped up one on the back of what I have said, and I've gone out publicly saying that was the greatest point guard I've ever seen to close out a game in Matthew Dellavedova. Now, I know there's D-Max and all these things, and I'm not going to put him above or below that, but for me...
Seeing D-Max hit a winning shot in a grand final was probably
Adelaide.
Pretty impressive.
I know, but I'm just saying that was one of... Well, it was definitely, and I said, Dellavedova's greatest game that I've seen, and as a pure point guard in the NBL, as a pure point guard, to watch him get 16 points, 11 assists, zero turnovers, that was outstanding, buddy.
Yeah, it wasn't even those numbers that impressed me, Brad. It was his general, the way he generaled, marshaled the troops and you go over there, you do this, we got this, you know, this time we're running that. The way he directed traffic, he was the on-court coach, and that's what impressed me. When we talk about his greatest individual games, there's another one he played in Wollongong back in the day when Brian Gorgian was coaching the Hawks, and he really wanted to show Brian that he should be a contender for the Olympic team, and he went off and hit a bunch of threes. But that was about him sort of projecting that I'm still valid, I'm still pertinent, whereas this performance was one about we need to win and I'm going to professionally show you how it's done.
Time and possession, right? Game three, pivotal game. It was just, it was great. He got some good support by Jack White, who went 0 points from zero attempts in game two.
Which was pathetic. I'm sorry, that's pathetic.
Absolutely. Comes out 8 of 9 in game three. Love the fact that they run a play for him, the first play of the game. And we even said that here. You said to me, what would you do? Go straight at him.
Right?
Go straight at him.
I still do that. Brad, I'll tell you why I still do that. Because in game four, when he went to the foul line, he was again, you could see it in his eyes. I don't want to be here. It wasn't like, I don't know when you played, but when I played, I liked my free throw shoot.
Oh, yeah,
so
me
if I pump fake the guy jumped on me, I thought, beauty, I'm going to line his too easy one. That was my mentality.
100%.
His mentality I've been fouled.
Yeah, give him credit where credit's due. He had to come out and he did a good job. And also, I will give him credit. He doesn't shy away. He does all the interviews. He does everything. He talks about it. So I'll give him credit rather than just go and leave me alone. Anyway, he finished with 20. Chris Golding, 14. 2 of 9 from the three-point line. For Illawarra, they had a number of guys in double figures. The biggest talking point was probably the fact that Trey Kell went down with bone bruising.
I'm sorry. I'm not impressed by that. You're playing a championship series. What are you doing going to the back, to the change room? You've got a couple of minutes to go. Get out there and support your team. Oh, your knee's a bit sore. Oh, poor baby. No, I thought that was pathetic, to be honest.
Well, then we go to game four, Sam Frolling, which appears like he has torn his Achilles. He's sitting on the bench there with ice on it.
That's exactly my point. Yeah. And also, he got straight up. When he slipped over, he got straight up and tried to run it off.
Yeah.
Right? He wasn't lying on the floor like, oh, woe is me, part of me's hurting. I think that stuff's pathetic. I'm sorry. I got no time for it. Get up. You're a man. You're being paid a huge amount of money to play sport for a living. Get up and get on with it, son. And if he doesn't show up in game five, I'd be really tempted to understand or look back and go, why didn't Adelaide retain him? Why didn't Southeast Melbourne retain him? Because we're talking about a guy here who is an outstanding, skilled athlete and one of the best players we've seen at his best. But mentally, what's going on, mate?
Yeah.
What's going on? You got a sore hangnail or something? Get on with it. It's a championship.
Jeez, did we just hear Nodge Nasty? My goodness, that was fantastic. Now, speaking, I do want to give a shout out to our man, Chuck Harmison. Chucky grabbed me the other night and he said to me, where is the damn pod? I want one. I said, I promise you it's coming out. We even spoke after game four because he was that pumped up. I don't think he'd slept, buddy. I don't think he'd slept. So, Chuck, can't wait to see you Sunday. All right, so it's 2-1. We go down to Illawarra. They've got no Trey Kell playing. Yeah. Everyone in their right mind is like, Melbourne is winning this game. This and now with no Trey Kell, blah, blah. I'm going to keep going the same way. I picked Illawarra because I've always said I don't think any team's going to lose or win two in a row. They go in there. They lose Sam Frolling. Was it quarter two? I can't remember if it was quarter one or quarter.
He played 8.5 minutes. There's yesterday said he played 2 minutes. Come on, man. He played 8.5 minutes in both. It was in the second quarter that it happened.
I wasn't sure if it was at the end of the first or the early second. Anyway, he goes down and William Davo Hickey and Lockie Ulbrich take a brow. What an outstanding game for both of those.
Can I add another name? Mason Peatling did a lot of things that didn't stat. He just worked hard.
Yeah.
His energy, he was right there with those two. I mean, they got good numbers, but Mason.
I'll throw two others in there very briefly. Two big threes by Toddy Blanchfield. They were massive. And I thought that was the best postseason game from Darius Days.
Oh, I thought he was going really well in game three, actually. I thought when they put themselves into a winning position late in the third and early in the fourth, he was going. And then they came out
and shot all those stupid threes in the fourth. 0 of 12, mind you. I just want to tell our listeners. 0 of 12 in the fourth quarter in game three, Illawarra shot from the three-point line. They shot 72 shots for the game and 35 of them were from the three-point line.
Crazy.
And that was... and. They shot 22% from the three-point line, made six or something.
Even crazy.
You don't win games. They did a better job in game four. They shot 24 threes out of 80 shots, much better, and they shot it at 40%.
And can I tell you, they defended Chris Goulding.
Didn't they?
Particularly well. And I'm saying this around about the three-point line. When Chris was pulling up from a three, they would either go past him or slide or fall away so that there was no way that he could draw that. I mean, he was trying to. He was flicking himself around. He even got a flop warning. Should have got a flop tech foul later in the game as well. Now, warning wasn't enough. He did it again. But anyway, the way they defended him was, I mean, they've obviously studied how he kicks his legs out or how he leans, whatever he does, because they were bouncing around side and pulling away so that he had no possible way of drawing that bonus free throw. So I thought they did that really well.
Can I ask you then? Chris Goulding's played four games. He's averaging 30 minutes a game. He's averaging just under 16 points. So he's getting his points up, but he's shooting at 35% from the field and 34% from the three-point line. That's below what he normally does. So my question to you is, can they keep that going for game five?
Well, I mean, based on what you said earlier, which is that no team is going to lose two in a row, then obviously you're picking Melbourne to win, right?
Well, I'll come back to that because I've got a theory on that, but we'll keep going. Yeah.
Okay. But as it stands, like it just takes an Ian Clark or a Chris Goulding to get hot. You've seen Chris Goulding go 6 for 6 in a half.
He had 11 points in the fourth quarter on game four.
Yeah.
And he had 4 points prior to that. Like,
when they needed him down the stretch, bang, he was banging them in. But I thought that Melbourne made the same mistake that Illawarra did in game three, where Illawarra tried to finish him off and land a knockout punch. I thought Melbourne did a bit of that too. And when it didn't work, suddenly Illawarra got their tails up. The way they played the second half of Illawarra was really fantastic, as it was for Melbourne in game three. So we've got this game five is really interesting to me because obviously Sam Froehlich won't play. Trey Kell more than likely will. Shea Illy will. So we're
going. See, I don't think Shea will. Has that been announced yet? I haven't heard it.
Well, I thought it was sort of like he could have maybe have played game four.
This is completely just me, and I'm thinking you don't come back a week later from a concussion that's been ongoing. Like, your health is just way too important. Like, I'm sorry, you don't do that, right? Yeah. And that really worries me that could happen. But, like, that is just a pure personal opinion.
Right. Well, all I'm getting at is that with Trey Kell, for example, he is mentally weak. He's shown himself to be mentally weak. It's just, you know, it's just the way it is. We're having the excuse now of, oh, my knee's bone bruising or whatever, like I shouldn't even be out here, it takes a lot of pressure off him.
Yeah, it could work.
Expectations is off him now because we're just lucky he's playing. So I think we can probably count on him having a really good game five.
Well, all right? If you go with the history, it's been one bad game and one good game. And now that he didn't play in game four, this is his good game, right?
Yeah.
So, the other one that is interesting is Tyler Harvey. Yeah. You know, Tyler hasn't, unfortunately, had a great series so far. Yeah. He's averaging 13 points. He's shooting 18% from the three-point line, right? He shot 32 threes. He's only made six. There's another one that you say is similar to Chris Goulding. It's just so unlike him. He could break this game out and have 30.
He's already done that once, hasn't he? He wasn't having a good game, but he hit the shot that matters. So he just got to see two go in and you're in trouble. So I just think there's a big upside for both of these teams right now. But here's my strategy, Brad. See what you think. I sacrifice someone to go out and let them give the ball to Jack White for the first couple of offenses, and I foul him hard, put him to the foul line, and see if we can mess with his mental weakness as far as that goes. See if we can get him into that state of mind where he's second-guessing himself, and so he becomes a non-factor. Kyle Bowen comes in. He gives you good minutes, and he tries hard, but he's not the athlete that Jack White is. So that you'd prefer to see him on. So I'd go after Jack White if I'm Illawarra to start the game, and I'd continue to play defense on Gording and Ian Clark the way they have been, and say to Delhi, okay, you beat us.
Yeah, I like it. Okay, so who you got?
I've got Illawarra, because I think now, at this point, that success they enjoyed the other night, pretty much without Sam Froling, getting the boost, say, of Trey Kell coming back, because he's got to stand up and say, yep, look, this is a championship decider. I have to play, even if he's in a little bit of, ooh, we're a little bit of pain. Get out there and show what you're made of. And it's his chance to actually make a statement. I think for Sam, see, like, people have been saying, oh, Melbourne are sort of psyched by the fact that they lost to Tasmania last year, and they know what that felt like, and that pain of that, and their motive. Well, you could say the same thing about Illawarra in the semi-final to Melbourne.
So
that stuff's not a factor. It's just going to come down to who's really after it more. And I saw some signs of fatigue that I haven't seen up until now. And then I look at the age of the Melbourne team. And, I think people will expect Melbourne to be favourite. But I'm going with Illawarra.
Okay, so here's where I'm at, right? Yep. I did, and I've said Illawarra in five. I've been saying that a long time. But I did not say, but I also said no team loses twice, as you've mentioned before.
Yes.
I didn't think the away teams would be winning games. I thought it would go home every game. And I honestly thought it would get to game five, because no team will lose twice. And I say this because of the way the coaches are and the way the players are. My heart says Illawarra. Right. My heart says Illawarra, because I feel that is just such a huge win. They're going to have Sam Froling sitting there. This is going to be an underdog. Get off the canvas. And what
home
a great
fans.
Home fan. Like, it would not shock me at all. But then I go the other way and I still stand by. Every time we think one team has the assertiveness to get that win, I'm just thinking to myself, Melbourne are winning this game. Right. Because Dean will make his changes. They'll do something different. I feel with no Sam Froling, like, you've got Clark, you've got Golding. It just takes one of them, right, to go bang, and they can. They're big-time players. Yep. So this is the hardest game I've had for the year to call. All the other ones, I went in confident. This is the way. I went in Illawarra game one, but as soon as they lost, I'm like, no way, Illawarra are getting game two. Then I went Melbourne game three. Then I went Illawarra game four. Body, I am so on the fence with this one, and I don't want to be, but I'm really struggling with it.
This is where we're different, because I'm in a win-win situation here, because I expect Illawarra to win on Sunday, right? That's what I'm saying. But if they don't, at the start of the season, we predicted who was going to win the championship. My colleague here, he went for Sydney Kings, surprisingly enough, shock, horror, probe, but I went with Melbourne United. So I'm in kind of like a win-win situation here, because if United win...
Are they still in the league?
Who? Sydney Kings. Well, what's happened to your mate, Derek Rucker? I thought he was going to walk from Brisbane to Perth. Well, that's gone very, very quiet, hasn't it?
Oh, don't worry. I've been bringing it up a lot to him. He said he's seen a physician and they've gone against him. Hey, give me a nod to nasty, or did you already give it to me?
Look, my nose nasty is actually... So I'm not sure if it's nasty or not, because I kind of like the byplay that occurs if it's good-natured. Okay, now you can say, well, Illawarra Hawks holding up signs with the Goulding flop counter, is that good natured? Well, I think it is, yeah. I think that's funny. I also think the Melbourne United fans holding up the Justin Tatum sign, the Tatum tantrum numbers.
Loved it. Love
yeah,
it.
It's funny. Yeah. I don't get offended by that. I think that's good for the game to have that sort of byplay, provided that it is coming from a fun place rather than trying to be clever or nasty.
Oh no, I love both sides. I think they're great, yeah. And I hope they're both there on Sunday. Look, my Rose and Rattler is the coaches, and this is an absolute standing ovation to both of them. Yep. There's been a lot of talk, you know, like Tatum, you know, BA maybe looking into an integrity unit and stuff. I see it a different way. I see a coach is just going in a bat for his team, and yeah. Every time they lose, no one's talking about the players, they're talking about the coach. Well done, you've taken the deflection from your team. Right now, some people may agree, disagree. I then say with Melbourne, when they've lost, you know, they've come out, they've made changes, you know, that game one with Davo having to be guarded by Lee, I thought, great, you know, little things clever. Like that. Then yeah. Illawarra were able to manage that, and now they go down to game four and they're without play. I am loving the chess pieces. So to me, it's a standing ovation to the coaches. Just love watching you do your thing.
Got to agree. It's been a coaching masterclass in terms of, from both men, in terms of making their adjustments. It's
and been give fantastic. A shout out to the assistants, because they don't do it on their own. Right. Yep. And there's some very qualified and good assistants on both teams that are really helping, no question.
Okay. But I'd like Jacob Chance to sit down a bit and not carry on like a pork chop on the sideline. Yeah, because I mean, you got Reece Carter and David Bowie sitting there thinking, man, he's drinking too much coffee.
On that note, to all our listeners, we are going to have one more pod. We have to wrap up game five. There's no question about that. Boddy, last words for you, my man.
Go Hawks. I would really like to see another small market team win the championship following on from Tasmania. But if Melbourne United win, they've been very professional in their wins, and I have nothing but admiration for the way they've gone about it.
You've heard it here. Enjoy the grand final. Those two favourite words we love in the NBL. Game five. See you next week.
You know, I thought the two favourite words people have for us is F off.
Well, my wife says shut up.